I wanted to start this conversation with, like, Matilda, can you just pitch even to me, like, I was your stubborn uncle still thinking that healthcare is all about, you know, waiting in the rooms?
Yeah, we have a lot of angry uncles, actually, as members of Even, so not a problem. I think what we do at Even Healthcare is basically we're the first provider of India. And by provider, we mean we are both the payer and the provider. So we provide insurance coverage in the sense that, of course, we finance care. And we are the provider as well, meaning we have our own doctors, our own clinics, and now our own hospitals, right? We think that only by doing the whole system from scratch, you can actually align incentives in a way that makes sense for the ecosystem. If you think about it, normally healthcare systems really have broken incentives, right? On the one hand, you have payers, can be governments, can be insurance companies that really, really don't. Basically, their business model says that they should deny claims, right? They should deny care. They should deny prevention because that's how they make more money. And on the other hand, you know, private systems being, you know, private hospitals, private clinics, of course, they make more money if they overtreat. So if they do more scans, more surgeries, etc. And the patient is stuck in the middle where nobody's actually caring about their long-term health. If you build the whole system from scratch, which is exactly what we're doing, actually, you align incentives very, very well in a way that it doesn't happen right now because we're a healthcare company, but with an insurance business model, meaning you know, we make more money if people stay healthy and out of the hospital. So basically what our product is very simple. We cover every single thing that has to do with healthcare, 360 degrees from prevention to diagnostics and to hospitalization in a market where, you know, you only cover hospitalization normally because every single policy in India basically only covers hospitalization. So it doesn't cover the majority of the things that you should do, testing, diagnostics, you know, anything that is not, you know, an emergency, basically. And we cover it through our own doctors, our own clinics, our own hospitals. Of course, we also have partnerships with the entirety of India. And we're doing it in a country where, unfortunately, 60 million people every year go below the poverty line just because they can't afford medical insurance, right? So we're trying to build the most comprehensive product out there.
This is amazing. And this is such a huge endeavor. Why India? Why did you bet on India?
So very briefly, my background is I'm Italian originally. I am not Indian at all. And neither do I have like any link with India, apart from like the usual holiday that everybody does. I studied at the London School of Economics and then straight out of college, I founded my first company, which actually was in a total different space. We were using machine learning to summarize the articles of the most important publications out there. We ran it for about 3 years between London and San Francisco. And then I worked in venture capital in London, where I was basically heading all of their healthcare vertical. And that's when I got very obsessed with a company called Kaiser Permanente that is the first managed care provider in the US. So again, they're doing vertically integrated care and vertically integrated healthcare, a company that, you know, last year made $500 billion in revenue. So a massive company. And at the same time, is providing a product that is 10 times better for the customer, right? And so I started thinking, oh, should I do it in Europe? But Europe is really not the right place to build a massive company in healthcare because it's too regulated, too fragmented, etc. And so I started looking at India initially as with an investor lens. Is anybody doing anything like this, right? And I couldn't find anyone. And so I started talking to my co-founder of my first company, who is Indian originally. We met at Oxford in London, in the UK. And he was like, I think we can do it. And by chance, basically, we got to connect. One of my previous investors in my first company was, as it happens, one of the best friend of Gandhi family. And it was the 2019 general election. And he said, do you want to go and be the head of the digital strategy for the Congress party? Which is massive, right? Like you're targeting 1.3 billion people, etc. So we went there, me and my co-founder. And, you know, we spent, I don't know, $75 million in 3 months doing campaigns. And when you do something like this, you really understand a country, right? It's the fastest way to understand one market really, really, really well, right? And so after that, we really realized how big of a problem healthcare was in India. And we decided to do Even in India. Why? Because, again, it was needed, right? 60 million people every single year go below the poverty line because they can't afford medical insurance. Two, it's the most interesting market to build a company globally. By this, I mean, I think it has the potential to create one of the biggest companies on the planet because there is everything that the market needs to do that. Meaning, There is very low retail penetration, 5% max, growing at 20% year on year. The products out there are absolutely terrifyingly bad for customers. Again, only including IPD, so only including hospitalization, nothing else. You know, another really interesting thing is, of course, there is a massive government push. If you look at China 10 years ago, the market was worth 12 billion. Today is worth 130 billion, so it 10x in 10 years. That's exactly the trajectory of India, only way faster because of COVID, because of government push. And so that's basically, and also the reason why we're doing it in India is because we're doing everything. We're building basically the entire like healthcare system from scratch. And you can build that entire and whole new system in India way faster. Because, for example, for us, it took us 6 months to build the first hospital instead of years that would have taken in any other country. You can build it way cheaper because for us, the first hospital cost 3.5 million instead of 35 million that would have cost the exact equivalent hospital in Italy, for example. And there is lower regulation and there is a ton of amount of data that you can use in very productive ways.
It's amazing. And I know that you're very much focused on prevention first, healthcare. Why does it usually fail, and what do you do to make it at scale?
I don't think there is any incentive currently in the normal healthcare systems to make prevention work. As simple as that. Like the public system doesn't have enough resources to make it happen, right? Because of course they need to think about the emergency cases. The private sector has no interest in doing prevention because, you know, anyway, more acute cases, IPD, etc., make more money. And so the patient is the only one with that interest, but, you know, he doesn't have any agency towards it, right? Only if you build a different model, you can actually make prevention work. So I'll tell you something. If you think about all private systems, again, of course, they have a massive incentive to overtreat. And one thing that happens in India is that 50%, I mean, 50% of a doctor's salary is tied to the number of procedures that they do. So the amount of revenue that they bring to the hospital. So, of course, like overtreatment is incentivized, right? So we said, when we started in, we said, cool, the biggest change that we're going to make in innovation we're going to make is not going to be about technology, but it's going to be about the business model. So we're the only hospital in the entirety of India that doesn't reward doctors for doing more procedures, but just on clinical outcomes. So the, you know, patient satisfaction, the amount of time that a person spends in the hospital needs to be safe, but needs to be the lowest possible rate of readmissions, right? And patient satisfactions, more importantly. So we've aligned the interest of the doctor with the one with the patients for the very, very first time, right? Because unfortunately, it wasn't the case. And then we go beyond that. I think we are the only hospital on the planet that has been built for you to never visit it, right? Mm. Don't want you to visit our hospital because we actually make more money if you don't visit it, right? So our claims, of course, because we are like an insurance company, we make more money if you stay healthy. So let's say if we can see 5% of claims, we make a lot of money, right? But of course, 1% you can't avoid. Unfortunately, bad stuff happens, right? But in that case, for us, that 1% actually turns into an 80% gross margin because we tell you where to go. We tell you to go to our hospital. And of course, we have a big margin on whatever procedures we also do, right? So we recoup part of that. But yeah, basically, we do a ton of prevention. Every single person, as soon as they join, even they are given a health body checkup that is different in comparison to, you know, your age, your gender, your pre-existing conditions, etc., to make sure that we spot basically the issues way earlier that they become a problem. And we do a lot of managed care programs. So, you know, we tackle pre-existing conditions like type 2 diabetes, we tackle PCOS, hypertension that are all on the rise everywhere, especially in India. And this really works. So it's a mix of AI and doctors. And we've seen, for example, last year, the managed care program on type 2 diabetes, you just smashed it, right? Like 50% of people that participated lowered their HbA1c by 50% and 25% continued to remission. So they didn't have type 2 diabetes anymore.
You just opened the first hospital of yours, right? I was just wondering, like, how did you redesign the whole experience so it feels like, you know, a part of life rather than, you know, like a last bastion?
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to visit a hospital, honestly. Yeah. So we do everything we can for you to never visit it. Again, we do a ton of prevention, right? We test you more than any other company would ever do to make sure that, you know, we spot conditions earlier and you can get better, right? But of course, some people will need to go to the hospital, right? You can't avoid some of the issues that will arise, right? And then it's a matter of how do you make sure that the hospital does the job of the hospital, which is what the patients want. Cure the patient, firstly, which a lot of hospitals, to be honest, do, right? But in the shortest possible amount of time possible, and with zero overtreatment, right? And with the best experience possible. So we tackle this by, of course, the overtreatment is an alignment with our business model that will never happen. If you think about the shortest time possible, of course, we use AI, for example, to speed up a ton of the processes that normally in hospitals take forever. And then customer experience, that for me is everything. Like, it's literally the pillar of healthcare and why healthcare is so, I can't think of a word better than fact, honestly. Because, you know, every single piece of the experience of somebody with healthcare system is terrible. You know, there is a very long queue every time you visit a hospital. The doctor is never giving you enough time. Like, it's a mess, basically. And so what we did was, hey, we want to make the experience engaging. We want to make quality really part of the infrastructure of our hospital. And we have done this by making feedback work in healthcare. Because if you think about it, feedback in healthcare never works. Like, if you own a hospital, you check, you maybe check customer feedback once a quarter, right? And of course, customer feedback is only angry emails when a mistake has already happened, right? So it's totally broken. And we said, cool, we want to make quality infrastructure. And this means we want to check everything in real time. So we do real-time quality assurance, which means we track every single thing that happens at the hospital, honestly, from what happens to the receptionist in the waiting area, to what happens in the doctor notes, to what happens in the consultation, to what happens in the operating theater. And we basically put all of that data into our AI system so that it can flag it if there is any inconsistency with our clinical flow and clinical outcome framework. And this is very important in real time. Okay. So we don't spot mistakes after, but as they happen. So let's say a doctor prescribes outside our clinical pathway, or a surgical step is skipped in the operating theater, because of course we record also what happens in the operating theater, or a post-surgical plan actually doesn't follow the rules that we think are best for the patient. It just flags it. So the doctor has another set of eyes to actually make sure that it doesn't make a mistake. And we've seen that, you know, the doctor is way more confident of their work. We've seen that the patient is way, of course, better off because the experience is very reliable. And we're also way better off because we don't waste money on procedures that otherwise would have been mistakes, right? And so it would have just wasted everyone's time and money.
Yeah, so you just kind of also now described how AI is helping you to work. Like, do you want to add anything to that or that?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think AI is doing a lot for us. I think one of the biggest problems that you have in healthcare is a shortage of staff, honestly, right? Like, we have enough MRI machines, we have enough hospitals, we don't have enough doctors, and we don't have enough nurses, right? So we don't have enough clinical expertise that we can scale, right? Mm-hmm. With the issues that we're facing today, which is aging populations, rise of chronic conditions, etc. And this is a problem that is everywhere, it's global. And so what we've done is we worked a lot towards this. Our belief is that we don't want to replace doctors and nurses. There are a lot of companies that want to replace doctors and nurses. We don't want to do that. We just want to make them more impactful, and we want them to be able to handle more patients safely. And so we've done a lot of stuff. Three really jump to mind. One is the work that we've done on documentation and just basically removing the paperwork. So if you talk to any doctor on the planet, they will tell you that the thing that they hate the most about their job is paperwork, right? Discharge in particular. Like, after a surgery, they need to fill like immense amounts of paper and, you know, the insurance paperwork, the patient record paperwork, and it takes like hours, right? And we measured it. It's like 2.5 hours per case if the case is not super easy and straightforward, right? And that's time wasted because the doctor is not the only person that can do it, right? And it's time that they don't spend on the operating theater, it's time that they don't spend with the patient. So what we've done is we've created an AI, basically personal assistant that pre-fills all of this paperwork. And now it takes the doctor 20, 25 minutes max to actually fill all of the discharge paper, because it's just a matter of like checking that we haven't done a mistake, right? And the patient is happy because, of course, they can go home with their family much faster. They don't have to wait a very long time. Another thing that we've done that is really interesting, I think, is what the work that we've done on voice avatars. So a lot of people are, of course, working on text, but we've seen that older generation, I mean, after 50, you don't want to actually text. You want to speak to somebody. And so what we've done is we have built 60 different voice avatars with the 60 different languages that India has, because, you know, it has, as you know...
It has a lot.
Yeah, 60 different dialects. And they make sure, they basically act like a doctor, and they make sure that they do all of the leg work and the boring work, meaning, have you take your medicine? Have you done the test? Have you done this post-surgery plan? Remind you of all of the exercises that you need to do after a surgery, etc. And then the doctor only intervenes, of course, this is all online, when there is a clinical decision to be made, or of course, when there is an escalation, right? Mm. So when actually is needed. And we've seen, you know, before one doctor could cater to 5,000 patients of ours, now it can cater to 10,000 patients of ours.
Amazing.
You know, yeah, just to finish, another example that comes to mind, that's the last one, is robotics. So of course, everybody talks about robotics. Everybody wants to do robotic surgery, of course. I think that many think that the hardest challenge is technical. I think the hardest challenge is distribution. Nobody has distribution, right? We have distribution because we have our own hospitals. And so what we've done is we've placed high-resolution cameras in all operating theaters that we have. We started recording all of them, and we started labeling the content. Now we've got about 5,000 hours of labeled content, and that will basically be the foundation of our robotic and automation in the future.
This is amazing. This is amazing to hear. What's the hardest founder moment so far for you that you had?
There have been a lot. One that was really atrocious, I think, was 1 year after we started Even. So we were scaling very rapidly and we had a lot of members. But of course, you're just starting off. You don't know much about the market. You don't know much about anything, honestly. And all of a sudden, one day, we got a notice from the regulator, the insurance and whatever, finance regulator, basically, saying that they didn't really understand our model, because we were the only one providing coverage for test diagnostics and anything that is not hospitalization, right? For them, insurance was just hospitalization. So they said, you know, we just don't understand if this is okay or not that you're doing this. So in the meantime, shut down the website, shut down the app, refund every single member that has taken your policy, which were, you know, I don't know, 25,000 people. All of your clients, B2B clients, you need to refund them immediately, like, you know, delete basically all of their insurance policies, and until we figure it out. But it can be months, can be years, who knows? So, of course, it was extremely tough. And unfortunately, there was no other chance than do that, right? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise I would have gone to jail. So we did it. We refunded everyone and we went to the regulator. We spoke to them. We, of course, asked everyone. We're very lucky to be backed by some of the best investors in the world, mm-hmm. which, of course, helps. We spoke to the regulator, etc. And, you know, at some point they were like, after, I mean, 2 months, not after 2 days, when I felt that the company was dead, they said, okay, cool, you can start again. I was like we've made, you know, we're embarrassing, basically. We're an embarrassment. Yeah. Like, you know, all of a sudden we had to tell them, you know, maybe we're illegal. We need to refund you, et cetera, et cetera. And then I was like, cool, guys, let's just try it. If we get 20% of the people that have bought the plan buy it again, I think it would be a great signal for investors that people really like our product, despite we fucked up massively, right?
Yeah.
And we got 98% of people, like, customers, B2C customers, to rebuy the plan.
It's amazing.
It was just insane. And the office was just on fire. Like every single sale, we were like, this is impossible. Like, I would have never done it, right? I would have never trusted again. But this just shows how important the work that we were doing and are doing is, right? Mm. Nobody has a product like ours. Like, people really want it in a way that they can forgive, you know, a massive fuck up that honestly wasn't really our fault, but it was just unfortunately happened and we had to deal with it.
That just shows the value you deliver. Last one before we go to rapid fires. You know, 5 years from now, what kind of headline would you like Even to make?
I think, you know, we started this because we want everyone to have access to very high quality healthcare that we would want our family to have access to, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, it's not the case. So, you know, we will go to rural areas as well. Right now, of course, we're focused on cities. We want to make sure that every single Indian has access to high quality healthcare. That would be an incredible
mission. That is amazing.
Mission.
That is amazing. I mean, I can relate to it personally. My family is in India. Like, there's so much to do in order for people to have good care and make the best out of their lives. I wanted to move on now, because this is the time usually in the podcast that we go for the rapid fire questions. Like, so I give you, don't be scared. Maybe a little.
Okay, sure. I'm up.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Okay. Always. Because I have it. I actually send it on WhatsApp to my wife. I'm just going to read from there. Metric you care about more than ARR.
Net margin. 100%. ARR is just vanity metrics. How much money are you actually making? Net margin, 300%.
Amazing. Most overhyped buzzword in health tech.
Oh, there are so many. Sorry, but AI nurses.
Okay. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh so hard. Founder,
we have the same investors as well.
Right?
Yeah, it's more.
Founder, you'd swap your jobs with for a week?
Honestly, there are so many interesting companies, but I'm very happy where I am. But one person that I would really swap my... Actually, there are two. So I'm obsessed with two things. One is sports.
Yes.
So I would swap my life for, of course, a week with any top sports person, because I think it's so interesting and they're amazing and I have the massive respect for them.
Nice.
And the second one is a very important politician, because I'm also obsessed with politics. I think it's so cool. And so I would love to live their life for a bit.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I would swap my job with Robert Lewandowski, I want to say. Like, he's a football player. One of us will hear. There you go. A best health habit you've learned from Even.
So I'm quite aware of health as a thing. Definitely the yearly health body checkup. Like, I wasn't doing it, honestly.
Yes.
And now I
please do your health.
Yeah, please do. It's insane how much you can spot, right? We do incredibly in-depth health body checkups. And so many of the issues can be solved if you spot them before they become a problem, and then otherwise it becomes a nightmare to solve them after.
Yeah.
So it's just a no-brainer. It costs, you know, if you have an Even membership, it doesn't cost anything. So
speaking of prevention.
Please go to India and live there. But otherwise, you know, it costs very little.
Just keep testing yourself.
Yeah.
And then one thing you'd ban from hospitals.
Ban? Paperwork. It's just too much of it.
Yeah. That was that question was too easy. Okay, last one. Finish the sentence. The future of healthcare is...
aligned with the interests of patients.
Amazing. And this is what we were finishing at. Everyone, clap for us. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.